Thanks for downloading From the Tops podcast. I'm actor Lawrence Gilliard Jr., and I'm taking a break from my work as an actor on HBO's The Deuce to be your From the Top guest host this week. So believe it or not, I grew up studying classical music, and it is amazing to be back around the discipline of classical musicians. It's been a while. And what an honor to be selected as guest host for the show that celebrates Walnut Hill School for the Arts, easily one of the coolest places to study the arts as a teenager. I was amazed by the skill and artistry of all the performers, and I hope that you will be too. Enjoy.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's today's guest host, actor and clarinetist Lawrence Gilliard Jr.
Wow, wow. It's been an amazing, it's just been a joy. It's been an amazing weekend. I've gotten to hear some amazing young talented musicians and professional musicians, and putting this show together has been great and a wonderful return to my artistic roots in classical music. Most people know me now as an actor. You know me from my roles as Bob Stookey on The Walking Dead, or from my role as D'Angelo Barksdale on The Wire, or if you go back, you know me as Derek Wallace from The Waterboy, or if you come forward, you know me currently as Chris Alston on the HBO show The Deuce. But what a lot of people don't know about me is that before I was bitten by the acting bug, I was a classical clarinetist. Yes. I studied clarinet at the Baltimore School for the Arts, and then I went on to study clarinet at the Juilliard School. So hosting this episode is extra special for me because today I get to hang out with my music peeps. And it also makes it special for me today because I was chosen to host the show that celebrates the 125th anniversary of the Walnut Hill School for the Arts. Well, for those of you who aren't familiar, the Walnut School for the Arts is an independent boarding school in the town of Natick, right outside of Boston. And because they're celebrating their 125th year, all of the performers on the show today will be either current students or alum of the school. Our first performers, I want you guys to welcome 14 members of the Walnut Hill String Chamber Orchestra. One of the violinists is at the mic. It's 18-year-old Sean Deal. I got a homie in Harlem. He prefers Sean. So do you like Sean or Sean?
Sean's good.
Sean's good? Sean it is. Sean, what are you guys going to be playing today?
We're going to be playing the last movement of Dvorak's American String Quartet, which, of course, was originally written for string quartet, but we'll be playing it as a small string orchestra for you. So hope you enjoy.
Awesome. Okay, well, when you guys are ready, take it from the top.
Thank you.
Walnut Hill String Chamber Orchestra, teenagers from Walnut Hill for the arts, playing the finale from Dvorak String Quartet No. 12, American. Now, we have two of the members of the ensemble, 18-year-old violinist Sean, don't call me Sean, Deal, and bassist Julita San. They're both with me here at the mic. So, guys, first of all, my first question is, why didn't Dvorak think of that? Right? Yeah. I mean, that was just outstanding. It's so just so big and so full, you know, with that with the string orchestra. Sean, as you said before, it was originally written for a quartet, and you played it in a quartet. How does it feel to play it in a big band?
Oh, it's completely different. When it's just a quartet, you're only working with the other musicians, so you don't have to worry about getting your own part together with other musicians. Mm-hmm. But doing that with a string orchestra, it's a lot different because you have to balance both aspects, so it makes it much more difficult. However, I think the result is like much more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely a lot more fun, yeah.
Definitely. And Julita, I know you were especially excited to play the piece. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, so this piece doesn't normally have bass in it. It's just in a chamber quartet setting, so two violins, viola, and cello. But I've actually loved this piece for a really long time. For a while, it was actually my morning alarm, so I would wake up to this piece every single day. That's how much I loved it. And so when I heard that I was going to get the opportunity to finally play it, I was just over the moon because it's just one of my favorite pieces.
That's awesome. And you're both committed to this really intense program at Walnut Hill. Julita, I've heard you say that the school is important to you.
Walnut Hill has quite frankly changed my life. I've had the privilege of studying at Walnut Hill for the entire 4 years of my high school, and it has made me such a passionate person about my art, just being surrounded by such incredibly inspiring young musicians and being able to live with them and being able to spend my entire day with them just rehearsing and making music together. It has shaped me into who I am today, and I know I would not be as passionate about music as I am today had I not attended Walnut Hill.
Wow, yeah. And Sean, for you, it was the teacher that you started with when you started at the school.
Yeah, so my first, my freshman year at Walnut Hill, I was with a teacher who was my fifth year with him, and he was a fantastic teacher, but 5 years is a lot of time with a teacher. So my sophomore year, I made the switch to my current teacher, Suvin Kim, which was got to be one of the best musical decisions I've ever made.
Wow.
I've completely changed as, you know, an artist and a musician. I don't think I would be here if it wasn't for his guidance, which, of course, isn't to say that the school itself didn't change me as an artist, but he impacted me a lot.
It's so important just having a good teacher. Like,
yeah,
just having
really
a good teacher can really affect you. Well, let me tell you, if it was up to me, I'd have everybody come back out and play that piece again. I love it like that.
Exactly.
Everyone, Julita San and Sean, don't call me Sean, Deal. Members of the Walnut Hill String Chamber Orchestra.
Over the last 13 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2.5 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Lawrence.
Thanks, Joanne. So, if you're just joining us, today is a show where we're celebrating the 125th birthday of Walnut Hill School for the Arts, the celebrated arts high school outside of Boston. Now, our second performer graduated from Walnut Hill School. When did you graduate, sir?
2007.
And you were also on From the Top back when you were 15, right?
That's correct.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to From the Top, Walnut Hill alum, cellist Tony Reimer. Now, Tony, we've gotten to hang out a little bit over the weekend and chat, and I know that there's some guilt weighing heavy on your heart. I want to say that, you know, right here, you're full of a house of Walnut Hill faculty and staff. As a matter of fact, the headmaster, Antonio Viva, is in the house.
But Lawrence.
Nope. Don't stop me. Tony, I think now is the perfect time for you to let release what is, because I think it'll be better coming from you than me, bro. Release what it is that you did when you were in school.
That was a private conversation.
Dude. I'm from Hollywood. There's nothing private in Hollywood, bro.
Well, I guess I have to say it now. Miss Castle and all the staff at Bon the Hill, I'm sorry. When I was a student there, I used to break the curfew and sneak out of my dorm at 5 a.m. and climb in a window of Highland to practice scales.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Tony, you got that off your chest.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that now the Walnut Hill School is going to double down on that diploma after they hear you play.
Or take it away.
Please welcome Tony Reimer and the excellent pianist Jung Abang. What are you guys going to be performing?
We're going to be playing the last movement, the third movement of Schumann's Fantasy Pieces, originally for clarinet and piano, and in this version for cello and piano. Thank you.
Tony Reimer, originally from the Boston area, performed the third of Robert Schumann's fantasy pieces along with pianist Jung Ah Bang. Now, for those of you listening and can't see, I'm writing out Tony's second diploma, which reads, to Tony Reimer for being exceptional. Dude, the power and just the control that you have on the instrument, that was just amazing. Can we give him another one? That was... Now, you've played with some of the biggest orchestras in the country. You played with the Atlanta Symphony, the Boston Pops, the Cleveland Orchestra, and you just won the Washington International Competition in D.C. But what's crazy is you're not even living in the U.S., right?
That's true.
I'm going to try something here. I might be rusty. Tony, wie geht es dir heute?
Es geht mir gut.
Mir gut?
Danke.
Mir gut? Danke. Mir geht es gut. Danke. Tony, how'd you get to Germany, and what are you doing there?
I moved to Germany 5 years ago. I went to do a master's degree. There was a teacher there that I really wanted to study with, Franz Helmersen. So after I finished here at NEC, I headed over there. And after I graduated, I just never came back. And yeah, so I play chamber music, solo stuff. I sub with the Berlin Phil sometimes.
Right.
And I've been enjoying life over there,
right,
taking part in a lot of different cultures and food and trying to learn German.
Which yours is so much better than mine.
Oh.
But you came back a few times because you won all these awesome competitions, so that's great. But look, since we're celebrating your alma mater, Walnut Hill School, and we know that they have some great teachers over there, what we decided to do was put something together and hear a few of your teachers hear what they had to say.
Of course, everyone that knows Tony knows that he's a very measured, reserved person, and I felt that I needed to open him up emotionally as a player. I think the biggest thrill for me came when he won the concerto competition at New England Conservatory, played Dvorak. He came out, sat there on stage for the 7-minute introduction of the orchestra like a stone without moving a muscle. And then the first note of the cello came, and he launched into that with such gusto and such power, and he played such an amazingly extrovert performance. I think that was one of my thrills as a teacher.
Wow. Now, that's your teacher while you were here at Walnut Hill, right?
Yep, and during my undergrad at NEC.
Who is that?
Paul Katz.
Mm.
Oh, that's very nice of him. In my lessons, usually he was focused on what I could do to improve, so hearing such positivity from him, not that he wasn't positive too, but, huh, thanks, Paul.
Did he help you with any other things? Like?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great teacher,
right,
great musician, cellist, but he also was willing to help out his students. He taught them, each student, differently based mm-hmm. on what he thought they needed. And mm-hmm. I needed help with my taxes, and he helped me with my taxes.
That's
yeah,
maybe so I need to give him a call. I could use some help with my taxes. Okay, so we have someone else. Who is this?
I think the most interesting thing I can say about Tony Reimer is he has an idea about sound for himself, and he is constantly searching to realize it. The strongest impression I had in the beginning of our work was he brought me Schumann Adagio and Allegro, which he had been studying for some time, and he just wasn't satisfied with how it sounded. And I heard him play it, and I thought it sounded terrific. And so it was clearly here was a young fellow who was had something on his mind.
Now that is the great cellist and pedagogue, Lawrence Lesser, who actually was the president of New England Conservatory for 13 years, right? Tell us about him.
I studied with Mr. Lesser, or Larry, as we're supposed to call him now that we're ex-students, but it's difficult. I studied with him during my master's here, and he's also a man who, though he does give compliments, it's nice to hear one without a, but you could do this to improve.
Tony, something's giving me, I'm thinking you were a bit of trouble, man. I don't know.
Well, I actually remember that lesson, and he didn't tell me he thought it sounded good. He helped me try to bring it to the next level. So it's interesting to know what he actually thought.
Awesome. And this next person, without a doubt, has been your greatest teacher.
I think if there's something I taught Tony is to eat. Because when I met him, he wasn't eating for hours while practicing. And I thought it was completely unhealthy. So, yeah, I taught him how to eat regularly, I guess.
Okay, who is that?
That is my wife, Maria. And, yeah, she really...
The most important teacher of all these days.
The teacher that I still have to listen to, though I'm almost 30.
I think I heard she's got a Spanish accent, right? Spanish. Yeah. So how'd you guys meet?
We met in Boston. I used to live with a composer at NEC who's from Spain. And she was a classmate of his when they were in elementary school. And she came to the U.S. to visit the country on her way to Mexico to do a year abroad. And she stayed with us. And so he left and stayed with his girlfriend. So she could stay in his bed, and I was at home, but rather ill. And she, at that point, was a nurse. And so she saved my life. Not just by feeding me, but... And, yeah, so I've been trying to pay her back ever since.
That's... I mean, what are the chances you get sick and a nurse shows up to live with you? That's correct. A beautiful Spanish nurse.
Usually they're very expensive.
Yeah. Lucky, lucky man. Well, everyone, Tony Reimer, that was amazing. That was amazing. Alum of Walnut Hill, from the top. Now making his music life with his wonderful wife, Maria, in Germany. Tony. Next, we have 16-year-old Taylor Wong, a junior at Walnut Hill School for the Arts, who is taking a seat at the piano center stage. We'll hear her perform Ondine from Maurice Ravel's suite, Gaspar de la Nuit.
Thank you.
Taylor Wong, 16 years old, from Dayton, Ohio, and now studying at the Walnut Hill School for the Arts, performed Ondine from Gaspar de la Nuit by Maurice Ravel. Taylor. So, first of all, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about young musicians, and they're like, you know, young musicians, they don't have enough passion because they haven't lived enough life, you know, to be that passionate. But you play with such passion, and it's so fluid, and there's so many colors. It was just dynamic. It was unbelievable. Thank you. I'm curious, is the piece difficult for you?
Oh, yeah.
It? Yeah?
Yes.
Because it doesn't look difficult. But yeah?
Yes, yeah. Definitely the part of performing is to make something that looks so difficult look easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, even like right from the very beginning with like the trill-like chord pattern.
Let me hear it. Let me see that. Okay, so that that doesn't look too difficult. So what's so difficult, and how did you conquer that?
Yeah, so one of the hard parts about it is that it alternates between a chord and then a single note, like that. And so one of the hard things about that is making all three notes of the chord sound equally, so that it's not just like two notes or like one note.
Right.
Yeah, and then another difficulty is that it can be very easy to make it uneven. And so, like, it could sound like...
Oh, I see. And the dynamics, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's hard to make it sound... make it fast, but still make it even.
So what'd you do to make it fast? Shimmer.
So I actually started playing it super slow.
Yeah.
And then slowly I sped up... like that, until I made it more even and beautiful and shimmery. Like it should.
And that's just what it is, even, beautiful, and shimmery.
Thank you.
Now, also, I know that the glissando, on a clarinet it's almost impossible to play a glissando, right? I know that the glissandos also gave you a little bit of trouble. How'd you deal with that?
Yeah, so fun fact, I did not know how to play glissando before I even touched this piece.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was reading through for the first time, and I saw this gliss, and I was like, oh, no. I'm going to have to do this.
Yeah.
And so one of the tricky things about the gliss specifically in this piece is that it's really slow, and it's controlled, and it's soft. Mm. And also, it switches between hands. It passes. And so... me having no experience.
Demonstrate. We want to see. What? Okay, so how'd you work on that?
Yeah, so because I didn't know how to play gliss, first I had to play it super, super loud just so that I knew how to do it. So I was going like...
Okay. So how many of us have done that every time we see a piano? I know I do. I totally do that. So then what happened?
So unlike the trill where I sped it up slowly, this time I had to, like, by increments, I had to make it slower. And so that was definitely a challenge. But I figured out how to, like, do the gliss in a way that was comfortable for me and that I could still control the rate of the gliss.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I start with the right hand chord and then I go with my left hand thumb and I go down with my right hand, and when they meet I transfer over to my right hand the gliss.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Taylor, thank you so much. That was amazing. Taylor Wong, 16, from Dayton, Ohio.
Thank you.
Today's show may be halfway over, but your From the Top experience doesn't have to end here. Sign up for our mailing list to keep in touch with all things From the Top. We'll send you all the latest news, plus let you know when we're coming to a town near you. Sign up at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. And from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from our home, New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Coming up, a phenomenal teenage trumpet player performs a powerful work by Romanian composer George Enescu. Here again is today's guest host, the superb actor from the HBO series The Wire and The Deuce, and a man who also happens to be a fine classical clarinetist, Mr. Lawrence Gilliard, Jr.
Thank you, Joanne. So today's From the Top program is a celebration of one of our country's great arts high schools, the Walnut Hill School for the Arts in Natick, Massachusetts, outside of Boston. Walnut Hill is celebrating its 125th year, so all of the performers on today's show are either current or former students. Our next performer is an alum who has since carved out a career as a classical soprano, performing all over the world and even on network television. We asked her to put together a special audio piece that gives us a glimpse into where she's been.
I'm Lauren Michelle, and that is me definitely at the age of 15 singing on From the Top. That was 15 years ago. Kind of hard for me to believe, but I guess I've been pretty much singing ever since. I had the opportunity to go to boarding school at Walnut Hill School for the Arts, and then I spent 4 years studying voice at the Juilliard School in New York. I didn't want to leap right into a master's program like everyone else seemed to be doing, so I decided instead to trust my instincts and move to Italy. One day I was walking through Piazza Repubblica and there was a man that was playing some type of a Native American flute. And after he finished, I went up to him and I asked him, "How do you perform on the street?" And he said, "Well, sing a song for me. Let me hear you sing." So I sang "O Mio Babbino Caro," and when I finished, not only was he applauding, but there were people behind me and around me and the whole entire piazza. There were people sitting in the cafes around in the piazza. They were all applauding. And he looked at me and he said, "That's how you sing on the street." So after that, I performed a lot in the streets of Florence. I had to trust my instinct at one point. I felt it was time to go back to Los Angeles. And once I was in Los Angeles, a series of events led me to getting a master's at UCLA, which is where I met the most incredible voice teacher ever on the planet, Vladimir Chernoff. This is Vladimir Chernoff singing Brindisi from Six Romances by Verdi. I remember he came up to me and he said, "You must match your voice to your theater technique, because he thought that my acting technique was really, really great. But he thought my voice wasn't. And I said, well, I accept that challenge. Let's do it. And he made me start from the very beginning. After my master's, I then spent a couple of really, really difficult years in New York. I just got no after no after no, and people wouldn't even audition me. But luckily, I'm good at making doors where there are walls. So after a colleague insisted I enter the BBC Cardiff Singer of the World competition, I said, okay, I'll shoot for the international stage. So this is one of the most prestigious international competitions for voice. Unlike my Cardiff competitors, I did not have a young artist program or a team of coaches to help me. So I got creative. I entered all these smaller competitions to practice my repertoire. And I could not believe it, but I started to win and place in almost everything I entered. What you're hearing now is me singing Ain't It a Pretty Night by Charles Floyd at the finals of the Cardiff Singer of the World competition. I ended up walking away as a prize winner, and I realized that I'm actually not crazy. I can sing. And since then, I've had debuts at Washington National Opera. I've sung at Covent Garden. But today is a very special milestone for me because I'm back at Jordan Hall, which is where I've sung my very first operatic role with Walnut Hill. And all these years later, I'm here singing Si mi chiamano Mimi from La Bohème by Puccini.
Storia mia è breve, a te.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lauren Michelle from Los Angeles, California, alum of both From the Top and the Walnut Hills School, sang See Me, Chi Amano, Mimi from Giacomo Puccini's La Boheme.
From the Top musicians want to change the world for the better, and we're here to support them. That's why From the Top offers leadership training to all of our young musicians, and we're out there with them doing community engagement projects across the country. Learn more about all of our programs at fromthetop.org. Podcasts of From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week on iTunes, on our website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's shift gears and get ready for a fantastic teenage trumpet soloist who's a senior at the Walnut Hills School for the Arts. Trumpeter Wanyi Yang will be performing Legend by George Enesco, along with today's pianist, Jung Ah Bang. Wan Yi Yang, 19, from Beijing, China, now studying at the Walnut Hills School for the Arts, performed Legend by George Enesco. Wan Yi.
Thank you.
Brother, first of all, let me just say that sound, bro. It's so full. You know, I feel like, you know, that Christmas show when Santa was like, Rudolph, that nose, that shiny nose. Bro, that sound, dude, it just cuts through. Everything is beautiful. It's beautiful. So, you're all the way from Beijing. How did a nice Chinese boy like you end up over here in nice America?
Yeah, so I think this story starts from when I decided to seriously pursue my music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to my parents. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was in a public high school. And then we're you know, trying to find a place for me to, that I can, you know, focus on the professional music career.
Mm-hmm.
And after we know about the musical education in China, we're you know, a little bit upset because, you know, the music education in China, if you go to the, you know, the performing arts mm-hmm. high school in China, mm-hmm. they are basically almost every time or all the time they're focused on their music and their career,
right.
their major.
Right.
However, they don't have a lot of academic classes.
Oh.
So both me and my parents, we think that it's a great idea to, you know, split your academic classes and your music.
Yes.
You know, it's always good to focus on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we find out that actually there are several great art high school in the U.S.
Yes.
And yeah, actually I've heard from one of my friends. So I was so excited. And then I auditioned and interviewed those great high school and then ended up in Walnut Hill.
And now you're here. That's awesome, man. So your dad is a PE teacher and your mom is a Chinese teacher. And they've been very supportive of you. But I know that, you know, you're a teenager now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're growing up, right? You're all the way over here. They're all the way over. So I know that sometimes communication may not be the easiest, right?
Yeah.
How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, I think that'll probably because, you know, both of them are really supportive to my, you know, music.
Mm-hmm.
So they're starting to ask me a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to, you know, take charge part of my you know, business in school.
Right.
Especially my dad. So I remember when I was young, you know, he's in charge of my trumpet playing
right.
when I was in primary school.
Right.
So after I studied in the U.S., we have argued a lot about my trumpet play.
Right.
So, you know, I still remember one day we sitting in the car and listening to some trumpet recording. And he said, "See this guy, you know, he's really virtuoso because his technique's so great."
Yeah.
I was like, you know, we're a brass player.
Right.
And the most important brass player is sound.
Right.
Or in other words, is the music itself.
Mm.
You know, and so we just, you know, kept arguing about the core value of, mm-hmm. you know, playing music.
Right.
So, I think right now he's more understanding my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and why are we doing music? Because we have the passion.
Yeah.
And listen to those music, not because of technique. Because they have a strong passion, emotion.
Absolutely. Well, good job with changing your parents' mind because, you know, my kids never get there. I'm like, no, this is what's right. Well, that's awesome. Well, hey, man, like I said, that sound is amazing and you're amazing and congratulations on everything. And Wan Yi.
Thank you.
From Beijing, China. A senior at Walnut Hills School for the Arts. So, we've been celebrating the 125th anniversary of the Walnut Hills School for the Arts on today's program. And so, it's only fitting that we go out with music performed by a trio of high-octane Walnut Hill alum. These three are also proud From the Top alums as well. And the pianist of the group, Evren Ozell, is at the mic right now to introduce what they're playing. Evren, first, can you introduce your trio mates?
I'm playing with violinist Gergana Haralampieva and cellist Tony Reimer. We'll be playing the second movement from Shostakovich, Piano Trio No. 2, Opus 67, Allegro con Brio.
Nice. An aggressive, high-energy ending for our show. I want to thank all the fantastic performers on today's show, and I just want to say that it has been a blast for me. I also want to thank you, the listeners, and I hope you'll join us again next week for From the Top. Okay, guys, whenever you're ready, take it from the top.
From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. On the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Alliance for Lifetime Income, a nonprofit composed of financial services organizations working to educate Americans about options for securing protected lifetime income in retirement. More at allianceforlifetimeincome.org. And from the Zimmel Family Foundation, supporting the National Center for Learning Disabilities, which works to improve the lives of the 1 in 5 individuals with learning and attention issues. Learn more at ncld.org.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You know, while From the Top is on NPR, it's not actually owned by NPR. It's an independent nonprofit company based in Boston. And every year, it takes a huge push for us to make the show happen financially. So I ask you to please consider donating to our organization so that we can bring you joy podcast after podcast. Go to fromthetop.org and click on support. Thank you.